this time. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, I should say 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. In chapter 9, verse 15. Now, the context of this verse comes after two chapters of explaining an offering. Paul was gathering together an offering of money for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had experienced great persecution, loss of jobs, and financially they were struggling. Paul, who had went out into the Gentile or the Grecian world or the Roman world and carried the gospel to the Gentiles, and he was taking an offering from all of the Gentile churches, especially at Corinth, and there were other churches, Macedonia, but he was taking an offering from these Gentile churches to take and carry to the Jewish church in Jerusalem. And just like any good preacher, did you hear that I said good preacher? Paul was trying to appeal with all his heart to the generous side of his Christians, God's children. And he appealed to them in using another church that was a poor church, a poor Gentile church, the Church of Macedonia. And that church, though they were maybe smaller and poorer, they didn't have as much to give, but they gave extremely generous. I mean, the gift that they gave was overwhelming to Paul. And now he was writing to Christians in Corinth, which were wealthier. They were wealthier Christians. And he was appealing using the Macedonian church and other things. He even used the goad or the prick. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And then he even used the words, God loves a cheerful giver. You remember all those phrases? Because God does love a cheerful giver. But he uses one last sentence to try to help bring the whole thing together. And he uses these words in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What is the greatest motive of giving in all the universe? Gratitude. Gratitude. Is there anything more in your life that you're more thankful for than God's gift to you in Jesus Christ, which of course is the gift of eternal life, that you will never ever be separated from God? And it's a gift. Please hear that. It's a gift. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough money to earn heaven. It's a gift from God and not of works. Not of works. That goes against us, doesn't it? I mean, right away. I mean, that just, man, I don't know if I want anything to do with that. Because anytime somebody does something for us, what do we want to do? We want to do something back to them, right? And we think that if we do enough, that our good will outweigh our bad. And God will accept us, but that's not the way it is. It's a gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I ask that question, what does the word indescribable try to describe? And I want to talk to us this morning about that indescribable gift. Be patient with me and let's pray together. Lord, I don't pray. You know I don't pray as any formality. I pray because this is a sacred time between you and us to use the word of God and this messenger, as flawed as he is, your word is absolute truth. And I just pray for the enablement of your Holy Spirit to do what only you can do, God. And if there's one here that's never been born of God, doesn't even know what that phrase means, to be born of God, God, I pray that you'll open their eyes to your salvation through your gift. Please use this time for your glory. Help the children in junior church as well. In Jesus, your name I pray, amen. Have you ever received a Christmas gift that you looked at it and says, oh my, that's nice, what is it? I did. I got a gift like that one time. Or maybe you've received a recycled gift. I've received recycled gifts. They're all right. They're certainly not indescribable, usually. One time I was given an Army Swiss knife. It can do 100 things, from gutting a deer to opening a bottle to clipping your fingernails. Or kids. You 16-year-old kids. Maybe you found under the Christmas tree a little box with your name on it, and you opened that little box, and there was a set of keys, and it had L on it. And you looked out the snowy window, and there in the driveway was a 2015 Lexus. Just like in the commercial. And it had a Red Bull on it. And you thought, wow, now that would be a gift beyond your imagination, wouldn't it? But certainly it wouldn't be indescribable. I can describe it. It's nice. I Googled the 10 most expensive engagement rings ever given. I figured our young ladies would appreciate this.
Okay.
Guess whose name came up among the list? Give you one guess. Who? Bill Gates? No. Come on. He's running for president. Trump. He came up. There was Trump. Donald Trump, he bought Melania, I think that's her name, a 15-carat emerald cut diamond worth a mere $3 million. Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay-Z bought for Beyonce an 18-carat octagon cut diamond ring, $5 million. I don't know who this guy is. Paris Latis, L-A-T-S-I-S, Lattice, bought a 24-carat diamond valued at $4.8 million. He gave it to Paris Hilton, and they never got married. But the most expensive diamond ring that was ever bought was a 33.19 Asher cut cup diamond that Richard Burton gave to Elizabeth Taylor. The thing is, I don't know if that was for his first wedding or his second wedding to her. It was auctioned just a few years ago in 2011 for $8.8 million. Now, if one of our many young men here at Grace bought even one of these rings for their fiance, that would be beyond shocking. Now, such a ring would be beyond one's imagination because that's not common sense to me, but it's certainly not indescribable. In my personal opinion, it would be called stupid. But if you'd ask my wife, she'd say, I'm stupid. Now, something that's indescribable, that's true. Don't go there. But something that's such a gift of indescribable is beyond our understanding, beyond human description. And obviously, here in church, we might guess right away the answer that it's God's Christmas gift to all. To every boy and girl around the world, to every human soul, as written by Paul to the Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's indescribable gift that is especially perceived at Christmas is birthed in a barn, found wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. You say, that's not indescribable. You just described it. Babies are born every day. And that's true, but no baby like this baby has ever brought so much to every human life, both tangible and intangible. And that's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. But for his gift to be truly beyond all words, this gift is truly beyond all words. It is. It's beyond all universal words. Value. Did you hear that? The gift of God that's so indescribable is beyond all universal value to your soul. There's nothing in this universe, nothing. Now, there are things in this world that we call an indescribable moment or an indescribable emotion, like somebody that's reunited with a child that's been separated by a kidnapping, or an adoption that's reunited with the birth mother. There are breathless moments at seeing something that's beautiful beyond words. And I realize there are moments and even lifetimes of unbelievable happiness. But why is Christ called the gift that is indescribable? And that we should especially thank God for it. And I can only give you some reasons here that I'd like to do this morning. First of all, he condescended to this earth. He condescended to this earth and became a man. He who dwelt in the form of God became born in the form of man. He gave up his rights as God. The infinite became an infant. He humbled himself. We who are human and imperfect know how difficult it is to humble ourselves. How could God ever stoop to our level? But number one, let me give you the reasons why this gift is indescribable. Number one, it's because of the unique nature of the gift, the unique nature. The gift wasn't a watch, which, by the way, I have had a watch that I've had for over 15 years. It's run by light, and for some reason, it's not working anymore. I'm joking, it's working now. I put it under my light all night. But I'm just trying to say, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it wasn't a watch. The gift wasn't a watch, that's what it was. The gift wasn't a car. It wasn't a sweater. It wasn't underwear. We all need underwear at Christmas. Or pajamas. The gift wasn't a temporary gift. The gift was Christ himself. But who is Christ? As we have seen these past 2 weeks, Jesus is the eternal person of the Word becoming flesh. Human. Human. And to me, let me say this, to me the most amazing truth of all Christmas is that the infinite became an infant. That to me is the most amazing beautiful truth of Christmas. Only God himself could offer such a unique gift. And for this reason, this gift is indescribable. The person of Christ is self-existent. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says he had no origin. The one born in Bethlehem whose origins are from out of eternity. And not only is he eternal, self-existent one, he is the self-sufficient one. Christ who needed nothing. He was self-sufficient in the form of God. And he humbled himself to be needy of a mother, to nurse him, to love him, to care for him. The unique nature of his person. He is a self-sufficient one made needy of Mary. He humbled himself as Mary's creator to be nourished and nurtured by her human love. In Philippians 2, and I won't go into it here now, but Philippians 2 references us, the selfless attitude that Christ had. He left go of his grasp of his rightful position in the morphe of God, the form of God. And he emptied himself of his heavenly position in the form of God and was born in the earthly form of human flesh. There is no gift ever given of such incomprehensible love or value, far, far beyond words, far beyond languages, whether in heaven or on earth. What makes God's grace gift to us so indescribable is the unfathomable extent that God would go to reconcile man to himself. To the person who considers himself an intellect, such a concept is inconceivable. But to those who believe the Bible's theme of God's pursuit of a love relationship with man, it demonstrates the immense extent that God was willing to go through to show him how much he loved him. A love that was willing to let go of the form of God, to be made in the form of a human, in order to save your soul and my soul from eternal separation from him in the lake of fire. What makes God's gift so indescribable of not only who Jesus is, but what he did for us. It's indescribable what he did for us. Jesus came to provide man's salvation by a sacrifice on the cross, an act in itself which is indescribable. How can the eternal God die? How can the eternal God die? How can the eternal being that had no beginning and no ending die? We use words like sacrifice or atonement, or word atonement meaning paying a ransom. Words such as propitiation, which is the word for mercy seat, or reconciliation, but describe how Jesus, one man took all the sins of the world on his body when he was hanging on that cross and cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That, in my thoughts, is indescribable. It says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have all turned to our own way. And the most indescribable thing, and the Lord has laid on him the sin or iniquity of us all. Now think about how much iniquity that is. And multiply that times the billions and billions of people who have ever walked on this earth. Is that not incomprehensible? What Jesus did for us. Not only who he is, but what he has done for us. Secondly, the gift of God is indescribable because of the grace with which it was given. Most gifts have nothing to do with grace, by the way. Most gifts that we give have nothing to do with grace. They have to do with family, loved ones, or somebody gave me a gift last year, so I've got to get them a gift this year, or people we work with. Most gifts that we give have nothing to do with grace. Even the gifts that we give to people in need, we give to them because they're humans, they're fellow humans. But God was not a member before of the human race. In fact, our human race was in rebellion against him. We were his enemies. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to see man's position in relationship to God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. The gift of God is indescribable because of the grace with which it was given. And you, that is you and I, who were once alienated, separated, and enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, to present you blameless and above reproach in his sight. You see, we weren't friends of God. We were enemies of God by the thoughts, the wicked thoughts of our thinking. But God reconciled his enemies to himself. Even on the cross, when they were, after they had beaten him to a bloody riveted pulp, and hit him with clubs and ripped out his beard and spit in his face, and they nailed him to the cross, and he cried, "My God, I'm sorry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. The gift is indescribable because of the grace by which it was given. The great gift of Christ is granted not to God's friends, but to his enemies. To those who, in their sinful, satanic hatred and rebellion, have risen up against and declared war against the Almighty. To every one of us, now think, this sentence came, every one of us, suffering as we are in this world of immense confusion, tragedy, and pain as seen every day on the TV. Why? Here's why: because of the rebellious nature in the hearts of man. That's why. Man is in rebellion. Man is filled with wicked works. And you say, "Well, I'm a good person." Well, you have your share of wicked works in your mind too. But the thing that's most amazing to me of grace is that God offers his indescribable gift of grace to us. Christmas does not offer rejoicing to a select few. It cries out, "Joy to the world! The Lord has come!" As the angel announced to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." To all people, all tongues, all language, all races, all ethnic groups. In the angel's message to the shepherd, we stand before the supreme truth of our Christian faith, the immense grace of God, that Christ Jesus came into this world not to build big fancy churches. Christ Jesus came into this world not to start a social order or a political party. Christ came into this world to be the Savior. As Paul wrote, that I am the chief of sinners, and so am I. The reason the angel sang that first Christmas night was to announce God's love for all mankind was born in Christ the Savior, the Lord. First and foremost, this baby was born to secure. Please hear. First and foremost, this baby was born to secure your salvation. Your salvation. Don't look at him as a little. Isn't it a wonderful story? He came for your salvation, and you accept his gift of salvation. You will not go to heaven. You hear me? No matter you're a Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or whatever you may be, the supreme reason he came was the message of the angel to be the Savior. Such mercy and grace to one's enemies goes beyond the limit of human speech or imagination. But more than Christ came to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. There is no sin too great. There's no sin too great, no sinner too vile to be blessed by God when repentant and taking his gift. Such a gift is offered in this baby, and it's indescribable. But it's not only the gift that's indescribable, it's also the gracious manner that this gift was given. The gracious manner that this gift was given with. That's why it's so indescribable. The gracious manner it's given. God doesn't hold a gun, say, accept me, or hold a club over your head. He gets down, he hangs on a cross and says, please come to me. I am here to save you. Reason falters, logic fails when asked, how could God or why would God save me? I know you guys know my story, but why would God break into a 21-year-old kid, hippie's life that had no knowledge of God, no religious background, didn't even know that Jesus was resurrected? Why would God choose to reveal himself to me and save me? That's a question to me that I never can get over. But the only answer is grace. Grace. Which leads me to the third answer as to what makes God's gift so indescribable. The third reason why Paul penned these words, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, is because of the immeasurable effects that this gift produces in the hearts of those who believe. The immeasurable change that this gift produces in the hearts of those who believe. The gift of God accomplishes everything in those who believe. The gift of God, the indescribable gift, brings forgiveness. Forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7. Turn there with me. Ephesians 1:7. Forgiveness. You say, oh, I've heard that a million times, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever get over it. In him, that is Christ, we have redemption or ransom. Redemption, paying a price to set something free. Used to have redemption stamps. How many of you ever remember redemption stamps? Just old people. No, you're not that old. Redemption stamps. S&H Green stamps. Ah, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the A&P, you buy a loaf of bread, you get one little green stamp. And you buy some milk, and you get another little green stamp, and you buy this, and all of a sudden you got a book of stamps. You take that book of stamps down, and my mother did, and she bought me a baseball glove. She redeemed my glove with those stamps. Now, I want you to keep that in mind and read that verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. What did Jesus Christ pay to redeem you? His life, his blood. The forgiveness of your sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding and prudence. God does not merely say, I love you. He lays down his life on a cross and says, I forgive you. His forgiveness means removal of sin so far as God is concerned. Micah 7:19 says, God hurls our sins. He hurls our sins into the deepest depths of the sea, never to remember them again. You see, the immeasurable effects of this sin, of the gift that produces in the hearts of those who believe, forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You all know that the east and west never meet. There is no east pole or west pole. They never meet. That's how far God has removed our sins from us. To demonstrate the forgiving heart of God as Jesus in the process of horribly suffering for our sins, the thief, talk about the grace of God, indescribable grace of God. The thief is hanging on the cross, dying. And he turns to Jesus and, somehow, where does he come up with faith? He had been mocking Jesus half an hour before. But now somehow he's come to see Jesus as the king after they nailed, saying, this is the king of the Jews, in all these different languages. And the thief says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now Jesus could have said, you know, half an hour ago you were cursing me. Remember those days, Josh? Half an hour ago, you're cursing me. But now, you see, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That's indescribable grace. I'm telling you, it just thrills my heart. His person and gracious heart is eager to forgive the repentant, believing soul. And even here today, he awaits that one heart that is sick of their life of sin and emptiness and would turn and ask him to save them. Forgiveness. The second thing I have is justification. I could bring a whole sermon on just that one word, justification. Say, don't do it, Pastor. All right. Now, there's two theological terms, though, that are beyond human comprehension. One is justification, and the other one is righteousness. And, of course, we understand the word justice, don't we? We understand the word justice. Just this past week, we all got just one to pull our hair out. Justice. That 16-year-old boy that had killed four people, drunk driving, killed four people and crippled another one, paraplegic for life. And he got away with 10 years probation. Because of, remember what the word was? Affluenza. He was raised in affluence. You're saying, what's that? That's what I said. What's affluenza? I thought you got the flu? Affluenza. He was He was raised in such being such a spoiled brat, and he is, that he was let go of a horrific crime of killing four people, drunk, 16-year-old, drunk. And they, now he's in trouble because he was drinking. They videoed, I don't know, Facebook something, a video of this kid at a party drinking. He's on 10 years probation. He's not to drink. And now it's made the whole United States madder than a hornet's nest that you just knocked down. It made me mad. I cried out for justice. Catch the guy and give him. Throw the book at him. Put him in a wheelchair. Justice, right? Justice. We all want justice. But at God's judgment bar, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Every person in this room and every person in this world will stand guilty. And believe me, we won't want justice. We will want mercy. But the way to get justice, there is a way to get justice for yourself. And that's through Jesus Christ. Because in the immeasurable, indescribable gift of God, you are justified of all your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you stand before the judgment bar of God, not guilty. Not guilty. But I said the second, that's justification. The second word is righteousness. Because when Christ took your sins in his body, guess what he gave to you and put on you? Righteousness. So not only do you stand before the judgment bar of God, innocent of all sin, you stand there righteous. How righteous? As righteous as the person of God. Now, if that's not indescribable gift, I don't know what is. And it's a gift. It's a gift. That's the amazing. It's a gift. That's amazing to me. That's indescribable to me. That God would take this man and make him not only not guilty, but righteous in Christ. You say, where is that found? I want to read that. So do I. So let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Say, well, you do want to read it. So you can find it. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's us. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their mouth, their throat is an open tomb. You know why it's an open tomb? Because we're all the time dead coming out of our mouth. Words. Their tongues, they practice lies of deceit. They practice it. The poison of a snake is, an asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God. Now that describes us, doesn't it? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's the word justified, justification. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth to be a propitiation or payment by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Now I want you to see verse 26. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, and that he might be the just and the justifier of him who has faith in Christ Jesus. God is both the just, he's the judge on the bar, he's the just judge, he's the just judge that sits on the seat of the judgment. He's just, he's holy, he's perfect. And he meets out justice. He meets out justice. He's the just one. But then he's the justifier. He takes off his robe as judge. Takes off his robe, gets up off his seat, takes off his robe, walks down to the court, stands beside you, puts his arm around you, and he's your justifier, Jesus Christ. And he justifies you of your sin. And not only does he do that, but he gives you robes of righteousness. I don't know how that makes you feel, but to me, that is grace that's indescribable. And then I love the last point, and I'll close with this point. And there's more. I mean, there's more, but I don't have time. He makes you a child of God. He makes you a child of his. You say, well, everybody's a child of God. I hear that all the time. But the truth of the matter is, we're born enemies of God, and we're born sons of disobedience, having the nature of Satan. Remember what Jesus said to the religious people? You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you'll do. But I want you to know that it wasn't always that way. It became that way when Adam sinned, and we lost our sonship with God. Our childhood relationship with God was gone. Our childhood innocence and our relationship with God was gone. And that's why Christ came, to restore and make us the children of God. Now, you don't know what that means. My words, it's indescribable to be a child of God. You say, oh, I hear that all the time. But let me, you think about it, it's indescribable that you are born of God, child of God. You're born by God. Born. I mean, born. Child of God. That's indescribable. Let me tell you the truth. That you and I have no idea what all that means. In 1 John 3, there's a verse. It says, behold, look at, what kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we'll be like him. It goes on to say, what kind of love did it take? And I'm going to tell you this, there's only one love can do that, and that's agape love, God's love. And that in itself is indescribable. That phrase, what kind of love, means it's a blow your mind kind of love. A blow your mind kind of love. That you would be called the children of God. When Jesus was in the boat with his disciples, you remember the story, he was asleep down in the bow of the boat, the bottom of the boat, back of the boat. He was in the boat sleeping. The storm came up, the water was rushing over the sides of the boat, and the boat was taking on water. And the disciples were scared out of their minds. And they tried to bail for a while. They bailed and they bailed and they couldn't keep up with it. So finally they go and they shake Jesus. Jesus! Jesus, wake up! What's going on, guys? Don't you care that we're going to die here? And Jesus gets up. Oh, you have little faith. Peace. Be still. And the disciples said to themselves, to one another maybe, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's the word used. Behold, look. What kind of love is this that you should be called the children of God? That's an indescribable gift. I hope you see the indescribable nature. And I could talk about the Holy Spirit, indescribable. I mean, I could talk about so much of God's graces to you that's indescribable. What are you going to do with it? Let me illustrate this quickly. Remember J.C. Dugard? Remember J.C.? Anybody know what I'm talking about? J.C. Dugard? She was taken from her family, kidnapped from her mother. Her dad had left her as a child. She was taken from her mother, 11 years old, walking to school. One morning, 11 years old, and raped, abused for 18 years. One day, they saw her two daughters that she had obviously in sin to this man with this weird-looking guy at, I think, Berkeley University. And they thought, this is really strange. They began to investigate, and J.C. Dugard was discovered after 18 years. She was being interviewed and debriefed and helped by a policewoman. And this policewoman said to her, would you like to see your mother? And she said, you mean I can see my mother? She began to weep. That was just a thought too much beyond her. Thought would ever happen. And they said, you sure can. And you know, the best part of it was true. That's the relationship that God has. Though we had lost our relationship with God and kidnapped by Satan, abused by Satan, used by Satan, deceived by Satan, in our own selfish wills. God has received us back to himself, paying the ransom through his Son, Jesus Christ. What an indescribable gift. And you know, we'll give gifts. We'll give gifts, thousands of dollars of gifts, many of us. And you know what God will get? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for your indescribable gift. I hope you would do that. But I hope you realize how much he's given you. And you might say to him, I will respond in giving to God with the most generous heart and free, glad willingness to give to honor his birth. Secondly, and most important, I would hope if there's one here that's never taken that gift, I hope you would say, well, I want to take that gift. I want to take that gift today. Today I want to be saved. You can do it today. And all those riches can be yours, far beyond your imagination, far beyond. Or you might also say, God, I don't know about you, but you know, all the people that came to the birth of Christ, you know what they did? They left differently, didn't they? They left and told everybody. They told everybody about the birth, who this child was. That is another way you can say thank you to God this Christmas. Call a friend, call a neighbor, call a relative. Invite them out tonight to see the gospel. This is tremendous. This presentation tonight, I beg you to come for your sake, to come and see the greatness of salvation in Christ. You've been so patient this morning. What will you do with this indescribable gift? Hope you'll go tell everybody what Jesus means to you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Paul's heart and his pen, inspired by your Spirit to write, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Oh God, we love you. We want to love you more. Want to give more of ourselves to you. Break down our wills to yield to such love, such grace, that we would want to give our all to you. In Jesus, your name I pray. Amen. Dave Lyman's going to